For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Believe in the NFL podcast. My name is Jack, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter, unfortunately, at MLBNerds. I now have a website, also, MLBNerds.com. Go check that out. I'm here with my co-host, Ryan. You can find him on Twitter, Ryan Garcia ESM. James, you can find him on Twitter, at James Valentinas, at your own risk. And Jackson, you can find him on Twitter, JacksonDells2. Today's podcast is going to be kind of a draft recap. MLB draft was a couple of days ago. It just finished or wrapping up today, wrapping up tomorrow, whatever.
It wrapped up today. They went short. Why was it short, Jackson?
Short. Jackson, why was it short?
Well, there's only a minute in between picks.
That's not what I mean. I mean 20 rounds.
A minute is like 42.
Since 2020, 2020 was 5, and then they agreed to make it 20 since.
Okay, because I thought it was 40. Too much. I thought it was like 42 rounds or something before that.
It used to be.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, you don't want the, I guess you don't want the draft to drag out too much. And I mean, I don't know.
But now you can sign on draft day, guys, and it counts towards your pool money, right?
Well, after, if you pay him more than 125K. Yeah. Okay. It used to be you could only pay him 20K. So it's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, you have, you know, this draft also, I can say it was ridiculous from my experience. Obviously, I was canceled on Twitter, and then I had my year in Mercedes moment, but I was still canceled on Twitter, which is kind of unfortunate.
Well, here's the problem, Jack, is that you were wrong.
That's why you kept on Twitter. But then I was right. Because
you have 12-year-old Yankee fan sources per Maxwell Resnick.
That was so funny, bro. He's like, yo, you need 12-year-old Yankee fans tell you Kumar Rocker is going to go higher than the expected, like, the expected slot. And he fucking goes top three. And that was exactly what I was referencing. And real ones know that I was referencing that Kumar
Rocker. So why didn't you just say that?
I couldn't. I was not allowed to. And I don't, I wouldn't have said that. Like, I was not allowed to. Unfortunately, like, it would have been cool. And I'm not going to go tweet about it. I'm not going to be like, yo, you know, I actually had this specific pick, you know. 2 months.
You can't. I mean, you can't say that because then no one's gonna give you any information anymore, right?
Right. Well, it's not even that. Like, I respect the hell of those people, and I don't want to fuck with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they tell me to keep stuff quiet. I keep it quiet. You know.
So, right.
That's part of it. Some of the stuff I can, like, all the Joey Gallo shit, like, I've gotten from three different people. I can just say whatever because, like, that is not from the other stuff. And as much as I appreciate, you know, it sucks that I can't directly be like, hey, this is the timestamps or whatever. But anyways, yeah, so obviously very, you know, wacky draft. You know, Jackson Holliday was the Rangers target at 3. He ended up going 1, which was very unforeseen, obviously, from what I understood. It wasn't a bad pick by any means. Probably it was a good pick, but, you know, could have gone many different ways. You know, Tamar Johnson, who was, you know, heavily favored to go 1, went 4. And then, you know, obviously Kumar Rocker jumps from, like, potentially a, you know, late first round kind of competitive balance pick to, you know, pick 3, and then the rest is history there. Obviously, MLB draft is very different from other sports. And, you know, Jackson is the draft expert here. He, I don't know how, but he somehow got the job with Arizona baseball, probably paying him nothing, which is probably why he works there. Anyways, Jackson, do you want to explain a little bit about what makes the MLB draft different from other drafts for the people who do not know?
Sure. All right. So, the MLB draft's a little weird because it's all about money and there's a lot more leverage for the players in the MLB draft. Where in the NFL and NBA, you have to declare for the draft. In the MLB draft, you're just eligible or you're not. So if you're eligible, if you're a high school senior, or if you're a junior in college, or if you're 21 years old after like 45 days after the draft by then you're eligible for the draft and you can sign or you don't have to. And you can go back to school or go to school if you're a high school guy. And you can kind of ask for as much money as you want for your signing bonus. The first 10 rounds, I'll have a slot value assigned to them. People get more or less. Usually high school guys and college sophomores get more and older guys get less. So like in this draft, a couple of high school guys go first. They'll probably get around their slot value, but they might get a little bit higher.
I thought it was already announced.
To go to school.
Yeah,
no, well, Drew Jones got his, but we don't know about Jackson Holliday. I imagine Jackson Holliday's not 8.8 because that's a lot. It's probably around like 8.4, 8.5. The Orioles like to save money.
Yeah. I mean, they'll be up there for sure, though, because of the whole, you know, school situation. You could have gone.
Yeah.
I personally, when I did my.
He's committed to Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah, his dad, Matt Holliday, is the assistant coach, and his uncle,
and his uncle is the head coach, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so he would have been there no matter what, but he ended up getting this, you know, picked a one overall, so he's not going to go, obviously, probably, but very certainly he's not going to go. You know, I would say in the first round, in my personal opinion, I'm not really an expert. There weren't too many horrific picks. There were a couple that was kind of questionable, but, you know, Jackson getting that more than I can. Definitely the Cubs at 7 was a little bit weird. Other than that, I can't off the top of my head think of one that was like, oh, this is a really questionable pick.
Cubs won the draft. What do you mean?
I think Gabriel Hughes at 10 was kind of odd for me.
That was, oh, yeah, him too. That was
it,
not.
He's a good pitcher for their system, but it just seemed like they're spending too much or too high of a pick on a guy that they probably could have gotten at like 31 or 32, whatever they picked again at.
Yeah.
Gabriel Hughes is a good sinker guy, which plays well there, but.
Yeah, but also his ceiling for Hughes, I would say specifically, and this is a guy that actually did a lot of, like, relative to the other picks, I did a lot more on because the Yankees were in play for him at one point, which was stupid because they never really were, but they flew that around, so I checked. He kind of seems like a very low ceiling guy relative to the rest of the draft. He could be a higher floor guy because of the sinker ball stuff, but I think relative to some of the other pitchers that were still on the board, you know, Dylan Lesko is obviously a risk with Tommy John surgery, and, you know, obviously his fastball would play differently, but probably still would have another pick there, in my opinion. Even if slot value is a bit higher, but I wasn't a fan of Hughes at 10.
Besides that, I mean, Owen Murphy was kind of a surprise to me, but that's, I think it's still a good pick. I hate to say it, I didn't like the Red Sox pick at all.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Mikey Romero person. He's got elite bat speed to his credit, but he's got absolutely zero athleticism. I think every single athleticism test, he's always like dead last. So he's maybe a future first baseman. So that's not.
Isn't he a shortstop now?
Yeah, but he will not.
How does a shortstop have the worst athleticism?
I don't know, but he stinks.
High school kid, their college
best,
kid.
They got their best player in the third round. Spencer Jones is
okay.
Great. Spencer Jones is a really good player. I'm very excited for Spencer Jones personally, but I was going to let Ryan speak because he usually is very opinionated.
Yeah,
he's a genius after all for looking at Fangraph's power rankings.
Ryan, we can't hear you.
Ryan, we can't fucking hear you, dude.
Spencer Jones, I like because of the fact that he's just a stat cast machine, man. I fucking love that shit. He hits the ball hard, and that's cool. But in all seriousness, though, I think he has a high ceiling. I think, you know, you see everyone's comparing him to Judge. I get why they're comparing him to Judge. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Judge, right? That's a ridiculous ask for any player, but the ceiling is really high. I think the Yankees are in a position where they should be taking guys who have, you know, the higher ceiling guys. They shouldn't be taking high floor guys with their first round picks. They have a good, they have a clear number one guy in Volpe in their farm. Volpe. Take risks there. It's Volpe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you get my point, though. They have a good enough
prospect.
My bad. You know, Jones is great. I think Thorpe was pretty cool. I like Thorpe. I think his changeup's pretty good. I like that the Yankees, you know, they can go get guys that they can kind of get lesser valued pitchers because they're really good at building velocity and don't have to spend them as much on pitchers. They were able to get a guy like Anthony Hall with their fourth round pick, and he's a pretty good bat. Overall, I'm not going to sit here and say the Yankees had a great draft because I can't say that with any team, really. There are some teams that obviously had great drafts. Like I think the Diamondbacks, they got a lot of value, but that's because they picked very high. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Yankees had a great draft because God knows, like Anthony Hall could die out in high A ball and I would never remember him and he becomes irrelevant. But I think they picked guys who I can at least see why they picked them. And that's good enough for me, man.
Yeah, I would argue Spencer Jones compares more to Joey Gallo than Aaron Judge. I get the Judge comparisons, but I feel like Gallo makes more sense. They both are, you know, pretty athletic outfielders who have very, very weird contact rates and a lot of raw power. And maybe not to the same extent, but I definitely would see more Gallo than Judge and Jones. Again, I'm not an expert or anything like that. James,
I think Joey Gallo swings a lot more.
What?
Joey Gallo swung like 30% more.
Well, yeah, I mean, Joey Gallo also is just he's a very confusing man. I can't even put my finger
on it. He's having a tough time.
I feel bad. I feel really bad.
I mean, the Yankees have gone, I believe, 91-42 with him on the team. So realistically, he is really team on the market. Yeah, like, you know, he doesn't care about his counting stats. He cares about winning, and that's really what matters. Yeah. You know, people, of course, on Yankee Twitter, you know, stat nerds, stat heads, you know, people don't understand the game. You know, they'll look at the box score stats, but I look at the win column and the loss column, and the Yankees win more when they have guys.
Okay, enough of that. So anyways,
how you feel about the Cubs pick at 7?
I thought it was weird at first. I still think it's a little weird because he was like a third round projected, not like projected third round pick, but I read somewhere that like a few months ago he was going to be a third round pick, and then he kind of like he added a pitch, right, Jackson? He added a slider.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he
I know
and then
he became coming into the draft wanted $3 million plus, so he was going to get that pretty much no matter what.
But the 7th pick is the slot value is lower than $3 million, isn't it?
No,
it's higher. It's higher. I mean, it's higher. Like, that's lower than slot value. So I think they kind of went with the underslot there a little bit, even if it's not a huge underslot. I don't think he's going to make all the way up to that slot value, right? And then in the 2nd round, they went out and got what's his? I don't know. I don't remember his name. The tall lefty Jackson from Ferris. IMG. I muted myself. Ferris, who I think he throws hard. He was projected to go higher, right?
I mean, he's around there.
But the thing about the MLB draft compared to other drafts is it's not like there's not really risers and fallers the same way that like in the NBA draft there is or the NFL draft, because with baseball, it's so much about, you know, slot value and money rather than it depends more on your signing bonus than where you're actually drafted based on how much like the team actually gave up to get you. Whereas like in the NBA, the number 2 pick is the number 2 pick kind of no matter what. And they're locked into the exact contract of the number 2 pick. So I think it's better that way. It's really, really annoying because there's like, it's really annoying to deal with the casual fans, especially who just like have no idea what's going on. They're like, well, we took this guy who fucking sucks at number 7, but there's a reason behind it, and you just don't realize it.
He sucks at number 7, but there's a reason behind
it. He doesn't suck, though. He's good.
Yeah, he's
I think, like, with development, he could be the best pitcher in the draft.
Well, like, everyone was saying that when they took him was that he was supposed to be the best college pitcher in the draft, right?
I have him a little lower, but I probably should have him higher. I think Cooper Jerpy is the best college pitcher in the draft, but I think
that's Keith
Gordon's pretty good.
But I think the Cubs had a plan and they stuck to it. They took in 20 rounds, they took 18 pitchers and a shortstop and a catcher, which is similar to what the Angels did a couple years ago. But I think what the Cubs are realizing
they got two outfielders too.
Oh, all I know is like their first 15 or so picks, except for one, were pitchers.
Yeah.
I think Yankees went heavy pitchers too as well. I think from what I remember.
Like if you take a look at the Cubs right now, their farm system, because it doesn't really matter what they have at the major league level, because they don't care what they have at the major league level. That's not really their focus at the moment.
Nobody ever focuses on what they have in the majors, just for the record.
What?
Besides the Angels, nobody ever focuses on what they have in the majors, just the best player available.
Well, I know that's not. I'm not talking about the draft. I'm talking about just generally, from like a from a baseball operations standpoint, the Cubs only care about their farm system at this point and what they can add to their farm system because they're trying to lose. As far as I'm concerned,
I said that is true. Yeah,
and so if you look like Ian Happ's getting traded, Wilson Contreras is getting traded, anyone with value is getting traded. But if you look at the top of the Cubs farm system, it's all hitters. It's Davis, it's Hernandez, it's PCA, Alcantara, Triantos. Like, Alcantara, these are all
for the record.
Alcantara is better than Rizzo for the record. He's a Hall of Famer, and we won the trade. But
but continue.
And I actually love Alcantara. So
we got PCA for half a year at Baez. Right. So
yeah. Hey man, I can like Alcantara. That's my boy.
But right. I think what we've realized with the Cubs is like the last regime, the Theo Epstein regime, they weren't great at developing pitching. And their whole philosophy was develop hitters by pitchers, right? That's what they did. They won a World Series doing it. But now this regime, it's Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer. They're focusing more on developing pitching and hitting at the same time so then they can have like kind of a balance of both. And it's kind of working. You can see even at the major league level right now, some of these guys have come out of nowhere and they've pitched well. It's almost a strength at this point, and it's something that they know they're good at, and so they're trying to play into that. And then, you know, we see Caleb Killian will be up. I mean, he has been up but he's back in AAA right now because he sucks, but that's not really the point. We just haven't seen, like, it took a really long time to get a homegrown pitcher up through the Cubs minor league system, but now we have a couple, and I think they're trying to go for that more so than anything. And they have a couple options at the deadline. If they really want to, there's a route to contending next year.
What?
For a playoff spot.
What?
You don't think this team...
James, your pitching is so bad. Sucks with all due respect, man.
The pitching is... It's not that bad.
No, the pitching is all horrific. Like, they need... Killian needs to develop. Dude. They'll need Steele to pitch better. Stroman needs to stay healthy.
Steele's been so good.
Wait, Steele's a good pitcher, but, like, other than that...
I've been saying he needs to be better, though. Justin Steele's
better. I've been on the Steele train since, like, literally, like, last year. So is Jackson.
Remember I posted that thing? Who's got the best fastball in baseball? It's Justin Steele.
Yeah, I actually do remember that.
No,
here is Justin Steele has a league. I'm just saying, he can't, like, you can't have a number two star who's league average at run prevention. You can't.
And Brian, I think we need to start a dialogue about your use of ERA and dead zone fastballs.
We need me?
Ryan.
What?
We need to start a dialogue about how Marcus Stroman has a 3.29 xFIP.
I said we need to start a dialogue about your use of ERA and dead zone fastballs.
Okay, he's been league, like, he has to be better if they want.
I think he's a better than. No, I agree with you. I think the Cubs pitching is pretty shitty, but
it's horrible.
He has a good FIP and xFIP, so you know.
Like, I'm not disagreeing with that. It's bad.
You literally just said it's a strength. Like, literally,
no,
it's a strength.
I'm saying their pitching development is a strength, not their major league pitching.
They've developed like one pitcher. Respectfully.
Let's click some buttons. Right. Click leaders, click pitching on Fangraphs, click 2022, click teams, go to Cubs, and then put the minimum innings to like 10 because we need all the guys who have thrown. Look at, you know, Keegan Thompson, 3.43 ERA. That's a homegrown pitcher.
Wasn't Keegan Thompson like a 4X FIP?
I don't care. Scott Efros.
I should care now. Scott Efros is good, but he's also a reliever.
He's a reliever, but that's like – but when we praise pitching development
– yeah, Keegan Thompson is a 4.22 xFIP.
I don't give a shit.
And an 8.5 walk percentage.
And a 3.43 ERA.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to – you can't – you just can't. Like, the Cubs just aren't a good pitch. Like, they don't have good enough pitching. They don't have
a guy. He doesn't get ground balls. He doesn't strike out a lot of batters. He walks and plays, and – he doesn't like get insane chases, so I'm not really sure. Yeah, 20. Like, I don't.
So basically, I'm sold on Thompson. Alzolay will be back. He was good last year.
Alzolay's probably a reliever, but he's decent.
Where are you seeing that this guy's a reliever? What about him makes him a reliever?
We came out of the bullpen. He was exponentially better than when he was a starter.
Okay, well, when he was a starter, he had a 3.66 xFIP. So,
wait, really? That's kind of. I think that's a lie.
Look at his stats from last year.
Actually be a good starter, but can he be healthy? Like, again, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
if he's, again,
that's a whole different question.
Like, Stroman can be, I don't know if Stroman can be an ace of a playoff team.
But Stroman can be your number two.
Yeah, Stroman, but you're going to need Azalea. I'm pronouncing it wrong, whatever.
Azalea.
I know, especially how you pronounce it.
Steele, you're going to need all those guys. You know, you're going to need.
Oh, no.
To take a step forward.
When I say there's a route, it's. It's not a pretty one, but
it's basically they're starting
to compete. Just so you know.
Yeah. Oh no, they're not. They're gonna sell the entire system, not the system. Yeah. They're gonna sell the entire major league roster and suck for the next 5 years. But
I don't know about 5 years. It shouldn't take 5 years to rebuild. I really don't think it should take. Like,
it depends. It depends
doing,
on the.
It should not take 5 years.
It depends. Like, the Astros took 5 years to rebuild, and they.
Now the Astros are a powerhouse. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, like, the Astros are also smarter than the Cubs.
Yeah, the Astros started with literally nothing. Like, they by design had nothing. Like, if the Astros were to like tear it down now and rebuild it, they'd be fine in 2 years. Like, there's not.
But they're never gonna tear it down and rebuild again because they don't have a reason to. I mean, obviously they will at some point because everybody needs to. Even
really, do they really?
The thing is, the Cubs already had.
Are they gonna be the Yankees where they can just?
Yeah, they got
like,
decent money.
But the Astros, like, I don't know what
they have. Like, literally, like, probably like like people set up in front of these people's homes, and like if you don't sign with us, we're gonna send you to the island. Like that's probably how they're gonna be internationalized. Look at their international guys, and they're all insane, and they'll keep doing it because they're such good. They're so good at scouting. They're so good at drafting. They're so good at development. Like there's nothing to say. They fucking lost Carlos Correa, and like nobody does shit because they just plugged in Jeremy
Peña.
That's because
Jeremy Peña, better pride of Maine. What a guy. Is he from Maine? Well, he went to Maine.
He went to Maine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really care.
Jeremy Peña is not.
Jeremy Peña is so good, dude. I don't.
Oh, he was drafted.
Yeah,
Puerto Rican guys. Not Puerto Rican, Dominican guys. Some like I know Jeremy Lalanne. Was
I thought
born
this
in the
guy
Bronx
was like
and was sent to DR and he.
Just because his name is Jeremy Peña doesn't mean he's
yeah. James, what's that about, James? Man? What's that?
No, no, but Jeremy, no, no, Jeremy
literally says he was born in Santo Domingo.
He gives an accent.
No, it's not Santo Domingo. Santo
Domingo.
It's Santo Domingo. It's Santo Domingo.
I don't speak Spanish. Dominican Republic.
Santo Domingo.
Yes.
It says Dominican Republic right here on this baseball reference.
He was born in Dominican Republic, but I'm giving you.
So he's Dominican.
Yes, but just
he's not Puerto Rican.
I know. I was trying to. I said Puerto Rican at first. I meant to say Dominican because I was thinking of Korea. But like you could be like I think it's Henry Lalanne from the Yankee system. He was born in the Bronx and he's an international free agent because he went down to the Dominican Republic and grew up there basically. Just because you're born in DR, as long as if you go to like high school and you do stuff.
Right, here, if you go to high school in the US, you're going to get drafted. I just didn't know.
Right. Yeah. That's basic. Yeah.
Well, okay. That's not the point. The point is that Houston was able to replace him. So replace Correa so easily when he left. And I'm sure they'll be able to do the same thing when Altuve retires because, I mean, he's, what, like 34 now, Altuve? How old is he?
34?
No, I think he's like 32.
Oh, okay.
I think the thing is, though, the Cubs already had that big teardown, right? They already did that huge teardown, and they built it back up and won the World Series and then have to tear it back down again. Like, it shouldn't take 5 years.
They never tore down before that. Before the World Series years, like, 2011, 2012, they were just bad. There was nothing to tear down. They were bad with no farm system. Like
how they tear it, James, how did they get there in the first place?
What do you mean?
How were they bad in the first place?
Because
they tore it down.
No, they were never good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still trade. Like so, my point is they acquired high draft picks and actually hit on a lot of those picks.
Well,
they should not.
They were good at drafting.
Right. But like, my point is they should how do you go from there to back to now you need to rebuild for 5 years. Like I think the problem is that they are rebuilding again for 5 years. That can't be how your MO where you are really, really good for like 3 years. You break it all down again for 5 years when you're a large when you're such a big market team in terms of your ability to spend money. Like that's bad. That needs to change.
You want
to
know right now. I can tell you one reason why they had to tear it down.
Why?
Jason Hayward.
That's on them. I mean, one bad contract shouldn't cripple you that bad.
They don't have to not spend
the money. Yankees signed Jacoby Ellsbury, and they kept – I'm not saying
the Yankees have way more money to spend than the Cubs. Even like
why is that, James? Why is that?
There's big market teams, and then there's the Yankees and the Dodgers.
The Yankees had how much money tied up into Ellsbury, McCann, and Beltran, and were still able to compete and be an okay team?
60-something mil.
Yeah, like Hayward relative to what the Cubs payroll is, like that's a lower percentage than what the Yankees invested in. It's actually dog shit.
Hayward's also off the books next year. Like you guys are not.
McCann wasn't dog shit.
I think so. No, but I think that the Cubs are going to continue to spend this offseason. It seems from everything I've read, it seems like they're trying to get Xander Bogaerts.
Maybe red, James. Maybe red.
But they were trying to get Correa and they couldn't get. And Correa was a guy they absolutely should have gotten at his price tag. Like what reason was there not to get him at his price tag?
Yeah, James.
Why would they to lose?
I'm not interrogating you, obviously, James. You're not in the front office. Like that's not your.
But no. But what? What?
I said. But you read stuff.
Yeah, I read stuff. I don't have 12-year-old Cubs fan sources like Jack does. So.
My 12-year-old Yankee fan sources say that Correa was close to the Cubs. They pulled out the last second when Correa upped the price.
So basically, what I'm hearing is that. The Cubs don't need Correa because their shortstop is better than him anyways. So.
Zico Hohner does actually have a higher F4 than Carlos Correa, which is a great statistic.
Anderson Simmons is good at defending everything besides COVID. It's actually kind of hilarious.
Nico Hohner, just going to put that out there, has a higher F4 than Jeremy Peña, Tim Anderson, Carlos Correa, Bobby Witt Jr.
This has to be like not true, right?
It is true.
No, it is.
Hohner
Javier
has
Javier Baez.
It's interesting, you know, some people, you know, Jack, I definitely know that you know how, what I'm talking about here, but certain people were like hysterical about the fact Correa wasn't, you know, in pinstripes for a guy who's not going to have a 4.5 WAR season.
Okay, even,
you know,
what happened in the draft?
That is wild. Real quick, James, before I like, there are people who live literally halfway across the country in the Midwest that are so concerned over the Yankees not signing a shortstop, even while they're on a historically good pace. Anyways, let's get on the draft. This all does tie in the draft, though. As we're talking about draft, I didn't make it seem like it does. So this is a draft episode. Draft picks are also, you know, kind of basically lottery tickets, and you take a shot at really anybody. There are very few surefire picks, like, you know, so you have, you know, you can't really necessarily bank your rebuild on the draft. It's mainly more about development. Like the NBA and the NFL, you can just draft good players. Like, you need to, in the MLB, have a good development system in place. And we're seeing that with specifically the Yankees, you know, and teams now, I guess, in general, the Astros, we saw it with. These are teams that, you know, got better processes in place with development on both sides of the ball, and were able to draft sort of fit that mold, and were able to mold these players into, you know, some became superstars. So, you know, the draft is only as important as you make it. And I'll let Jackson continue here.
What I was trying to say is,
you know, the draft is what you make it, guys. You know, make
no,
it.
No, but
make
like
it count,
when you when you
thing.
Look at
fuck
it,
fuck you, Ryan. Right,
good
player.
A good process is when you draft good players and they become good major league players.
No, what that's I want to ask process. Jackson is, Jackson, what like five or so teams do you think had the best drafts?
All right, I
think from top to bottom.
Here we go. In no order, top five teams: Orioles, Mets. Give me the Reds.
Are you saying for draft? For the draft?
Yeah. The A's and the Astros.
I've got a
blue and elaborate here.
Okay. Well, all right, I'll start with the Orioles.
Who's
the Orioles, Jackson Holliday. No, I'll just go in order of like one to whatever. Jackson Holliday, really good player. Definitely worthy of the first pick. Was the best high school player maybe ever in terms of like his production. Hit like 684, something like 685.
I just want to say I never struck out at the high school level, unlike Jackson Holliday. So
you didn't strike out much.
I mean, thankfully though, it should have been Tamar Johnson. Tamar Johnson's a better player.
Jackson Holliday's a little better. It's all right though. Dylan Beaver's great second round pick. Easy power. He's got a weird swing, but absolutely crushes the ball. Max Wagner, great pick. Jed Fabian, probably second round guy. They got him in the comp B. You got guys like Silas Arduan, Doug Hodo, Trace Bright, Adam Crampton, late, Zach Showalter. If Carter Young signs, ooh, I think it's a really good draft. Who?
Who? Who's the last guy?
Zach Showalter.
Zach Showalter?
Jack, related to Buck Showalter?
I don't think so.
All right. Sorry. I want to do my best Michael Rapaport impression. I just thought at some point, who the fuck is this? Who they drafted? They drafted who?
Who? Tingus Pingus.
What is this? All
right, low key though, because he ditched the Knicks. I hope Michael Rappaport's like getting his shit beat right now in the streets. No, fuck that guy. No, fuck that guy. He became a Nets fan. I hope he cries himself to sleep. He's pissing and shitting his pants as we speak. I hope his life sucks right now. I hate that guy so much. Let's go Knicks, baby. Fuck Michael Rappaport.
It was kind of unnecessary, but anyways, Jackson.
Mets had a good draft. They got Kevin Parada, who fell. Who's pretty good.
He really does. That guy fucks. Like
he fucks everybody south of the Mississippi. I can tell you that.
So Jet what is banging the ball?
He's listed at 5'8". He's like 5'6", but he's all about 5'6". Let me tell you.
Who's this?
He's pretty good.
I'm trying to get like content pick here for Love Jackson talking about the draft, and you guys keep
Kevin,
chiming in with like
Kevin Parada fucks has got to be one of them.
Yeah, I mean obviously he does. Jet right, Williams, the 5'6". They say 5'8". He's not 5'8". He's pretty good though. He's definitely worth the 14th pick. I know he had a lot of interest after that. Wade Tidwell, they got in the second round, is probably a first-round guy. Didn't really pitch much a lot this year because he was hurt, but unbelievable at Tennessee. Nick Morabito is good, the high school guy. Brandon Sprout has one of the higher ceilings in the class. Throws 100 with good stuff. Jacob Reimer at Yucupai High School is pretty good. Dylan Tebrick, they got in the eighth round. Committed to LSU, was at Creighton. Chase Estep, who had a lot of production in 2022. 13 home runs, 16 stolen bases with a ninth round pick. So just a lot of value here. Especially, I mean, they had a lot of picks, to be fair, but they did well with those picks.
Would you say that, Jackson, real quick, do you think it would be a good thing to, like, tweet about so, like, we get the Mets fan dick writers?
Yeah, I mean, the Mets had, an objectively good draft. I don't think anyone had a bad draft, but I think the Mets
Stop trolling.
I'm not trolling, though. Like, I'm being so serious.
Okay, and then another question I had, because this was kind of, like, the controversial thing. A lot of people were talking about this. How do you feel about the third pick,
Bro, Kumar Rocker? You're going through the draft picks, and you just totally cut him off. Like, James, what the fuck?
No,
James is coming after you cut me off. What are we talking about?
All right, fine. I'll shut up so you can clip this one. Sorry.
Kumar Rocker. So I think clearly, Kumar Rocker, Brock Porter, same agent.
Broken both by MLB nerds, by the way.
Scott Boras always wins. Just got to remember that. Always wins. So they took Kumar 3, signed him for 5.2. It's like one of the two ones that's out, which is 2.39 under slot million. And they don't have a second or third round pick because of Marcus Semien and Corey Seager signings. But they selected maybe a top 10 guy, maybe the number one pitcher in a lot of people's minds, Brock Porter, at 109 for what's likely over $4 million. So I think that alone is pretty great. So I was surprised, but it makes more sense now.
Yeah.
And Kumar's good.
This was sort of a plan. Can I chime in here real quick, James?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a plan that Texas has had, you know, for a while. If their guy wasn't there at three, their number one guy wasn't there at three with Holiday, they were going to move under slot and then try to go for Porter in the fourth round, because there has been rumors recently of Porter not, you know, potentially going later rounds. Because of his signing bonus, and obviously Texas felt that way. I guess with the Boras connection there, it worked out for sure. But this is something that hasn't, you know, they didn't just come up yesterday. This is something that's been going on for a while. So anyways, James, continue.
No, so what I was going to ask then is, like, with Kumar Rocker, if you're looking at a guy like him, I actually saw this. Apparently his velo is way up, right?
Velo was up. No, his deal was up in college. It was really, like, up and down. Like, when we played him, he was 93, 94, maybe some 92s. But early in the year, when I was watching him, he was 95 to 98, and he's touched 100. So,
because that's what I remember him as, was, like, a 94, 95 guy from the College World Series a couple years ago. And then last year – not last year. So, I guess a couple years ago when you guys played them. He was throwing like 94, 95, but then I was seeing that he's throwing 99 now in indie ball this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably just trying to throw a little harder, like, because he knows he doesn't have to pitch a full season right now and wants to get drafted. He'll probably settle like 94, 96 if he's good, touching eights.
And then how long do you think it isn't? Because he's got the extra year, right, of like development. So how long do you think it actually is until he's in the majors?
He's probably 20.
If 2024. He's
like really good this year, he might be a September guy in 2023, but he's probably 2024, 2025. Yeah.
Oh, you think it'll be that long?
I mean, it just depends. I don't know if he's going to get hurt, has to have TJ, you know, anything right. Like that. So, but I mean, it's also, he's indie ball guys are not, the hitters are usually not that good. So it's hard to really tell.
How old is he now? He's like, what, 21, 22?
Born in 99, so that's September 99, so
22. He's 22, yeah.
Yeah, he's 22.
It says he's born in November.
22.7, something like that.
Born in November. Right, well,
that's not, I mean, that is kind of old. Like,
it is definitely old.
You don't want him to come up at 25, is my point.
Well, because, like, if you look at the guys drafted around him, Holiday was born in 03, Jones was born in 03, Tamar Johnson was born in 04, and then Elijah Green was born in 03, and he was born in 99. So obviously the other guys are high schoolers, but they went for the more, I guess you could say, the more MLB ready guy. But you could, like, he went 3 years of college, and then he's a 4 year junior, right?
They really probably just liked, like, they liked they liked Rocker a lot. They feel pretty comfortable with his medicals, and I think they also liked Porter a lot, and they figured that was a pretty big possibility that could work out for both of them. And I think it's mainly a package deal. Like, you can't actually look at Rocker without looking at Porter and vice versa. So
right. And then if you look at I just think it's funny because of the way that the Mets fans reacted last year, where they're like, oh, Kumar Rocker fucked himself, he ruined his career, and now
and now
he's getting more
more money, not better situation, but higher draft pick, like, he's doing just fine.
I think the funniest thing was when he got drafted, I was immediately hearing that he's like, he would be like the Yankees' best prospect, or he's their best pitching prospect. And then the second he didn't sign, he was like the worst prospect of all time, which was pretty funny.
I'm back on Twitter. Like,
I mean, I wonder how he'll rank as a prospect in that Texas system at just right out of the gates. Cause he's good. And he's probably, I mean, I'd assume they'd probably put him straight into double A, right?
Maybe
triple A.
Do you think Kumar goes right into AAA?
You go double A, triple A.
I think double A is probably more realistic.
Because I highly doubt they throw him into like high A ball or even low A ball. Like that's never gonna happen.
Texas is pretty aggressive though in terms of
Lighter's in double A right now, but
he'll probably come up soon too. I think he's pitching pretty well.
I think he'll be up in triple A, but I think Lighter's not a 2022 guy. He's 23, right?
Yeah, he's a 23.
He might be a 24 guy.
I could be confusing Lighter with somebody else.
I don't think he's pitched that well. I know he's
actually, but he's pitching pretty poorly. I forgot. It was one of the other.
No, he's pitching like shit. He has a 5.28 xFIP, 6.30 ERA. Lots of strikeouts, but like a lot of walks too.
It'd be kind of unfortunate if he was a bust.
Would it be unfortunate?
I mean, it's hard to imagine that again. People overreact to minor league stats, but
yeah,
they do.
But he's been down too.
There's always a tendency, like, and you look at guys like, oh, and when the Cubs drafted Horton at 7, it was, oh, he's a 4.5 ERA in college.
4.8, I think.
These scouts aren't looking at their ERAs and deciding whether they want to draft
him. His ERA in the last playoffs is 2.64, too. So
I just want to point out, too,
dogging him.
Like if you go on Baseball Reference and you find an obvious flaw with like or what you deem to be a quote unquote obvious flaw with a top 10 pick, I'm like 95% sure a major league organization was, you know, they were aware of it. Like I'm pretty sure they didn't go into the draft not knowing his ERA was in the high fours. Like, you know, people have this like tendency to think teams just completely overlook the most basic things. And it's really annoying. Like it's very, very annoying. It's very, very annoying. It's,
Caden Horton's so weird too, because when we played him at the start of the year, he was playing third base and not pitching yet. So,
he still played all year, I think, in the infield, right?
I don't think he'll be a two wing.
Oh, he's definitely not. He can't hit. I was looking at his again, like numbers, but his hitting numbers are horrible. He can't hit. Brooks Lee fell to 8, which I thought was interesting.
It's not really a fall. I think he was just.
I heard he had a medical thing. Okay,
what happened?
I heard he had, because he was like a big number one candidate for underslot, but I heard he had a medical problem late.
Okay.
Well, he'd be underslot because he's old, right? He's
he's 21.
But isn't he a college junior?
Yeah, but I mean, he's as old. He's younger than Jace Young, and he's the same age as Gavin Cross and Cooper Jerpy. So he's like, he's that age where it doesn't really matter.
So I thought it was interesting. Cam Collier was a guy who a lot of people thought would go way higher than 18. You think Cincinnati did well there? Is that an overslot? He's 17, well, right?
I can tell you what happened. So he was supposed to go 4 to the Pirates if Termar was gone, I'm pretty sure. And Termar went. And they didn't really have a fit until the Mets. Because the Mets had a ton of money, they could have bought a lot of people out for him. But they liked Parada, who fell, and then they liked
again Parada Fox. Just saying.
And then it was pretty much a bidding war between Cincinnati and Atlanta, I believe, because they both had a lot of money, and Cincinnati just had more, so they got Collier there.
Well, it's not just that they had more money; they also had the pick before Atlanta. So
right, but I mean, Atlanta could offer more money, and Collier just says no to Cincinnati. That's what happens all the time.
Yeah,
I guarantee you. Some of these guys got offers higher and they said no because they can get more money later.
Right.
Probably happened to Brock Porter like a lot.
Well, that's part of the thing with the MLB draft that's so much different is like these teams are talking to the players and they're like negotiating with them as it goes rather than like afterwards. Whereas like in other sports, it's, you know, we draft you and then we figure out how much we're going to pay you.
Right.
I know Owen Murphy was an interesting pick. He's a two-way guy, right?
Yeah, he's the only two-way guy I think might actually stay two-way for a little bit.
You're not. They told him no.
No, they said yes.
Be a two-way guy.
No, they told him no.
I read that they said yes.
Yeah, and then like an hour later, it was corrected, and they told him no.
Oh, okay.
They might have told him yes before the draft, and they signed. He was like,
"Yeah." Oh no, never mind. Yeah,
that was actually like, what's his name?
So then they're gonna
that went to the Brewers. There is no way that dude stays a switch pitcher. He's so bad from the left side.
So they're gonna use Murphy as a pitcher then, not as a shortstop, right?
His stuff's good.
Okay. I know Cardinals fans are freaking out about their pick. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Jerpy.
Just Jerpy.
H is silent.
H is silent. Jerpy. He's very
good. He's so good, man.
He's very good. He's like basically Chris Sale, except the Cardinals will ruin him, probably.
Another Oregon State pitcher, they have a tendency to be good at that. Developing pitching, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Really Cardinals and developing pitching is like me and being told.
I said Oregon State.
Oregon is terrible.
Oregon State.
Oh, okay.
Oregon State, three pitchers drafted, or four pitchers drafted, I think.
I was talking about the college, not the...
It's funny, their rotation this year had all three guys had a silent letter to start their name. They had Cooper Jerpy, some other dude, and Jake Fennings, who's PF. It was so, I don't know, I just called him the silent three.
That's very fast. That's fast.
When you beat them and then you.
Well, we didn't beat, we hit Cooper Jerpy, but we did not beat that on that day. But we won the next two games.
I thought you won the series, though.
Yeah, we won 2-1, but.
Surely that means you guys won the College World Series.
Well, okay, well, we did beat Oklahoma. No, because Ole Miss won the College World Series. Never mind.
And Ole Miss, I mean, and Ole Miss knocked you out. And they beat you like 17-1 to do it.
No, they beat us 22-6.
So let's be nice. Even let's better. Be
nice. Zach Nettle was the guy you were talking about. And then he went to the Angels. You said he could have gone higher.
I thought he was going to go to 7, yeah.
To the Cubs, right?
Yeah, 7 or 8 as an underslot guy. He's probably not going to get 4.4, probably get 3-point-something. But he's really good. I heard he had an arm injury too late, which usually happens. But he's a really good hitter. He can kind of pitch a little, but he won't pitch to the next level.
And then Dylan Lesko was a guy a lot of people were talking about, high school pitcher. To the Padres. How do you feel about that one?
I mean, it's a good pick. It's a really risky pick, but San Diego never shies away from those. I know it's either Dylan Lesko, or if he wasn't there, it's going to be Daniel Cusack. And they went with Lesko because that was kind of their guy all along. But and they were in on Collier a little bit too, but they just loved Lesko. And he's really good, but he hasn't pitched in a while, so we'll see.
But I think it's interesting how like these front offices – they kind of like build a reputation or a tendency where they do the same thing every year, right? Where like certain teams like college hitters and certain teams will draft more high school guys. It's just depending on their like philosophies. Like you said, San Diego goes risky. Seems like the A's draft a catcher every year in the first round. They did it again this year. Your guy Cusack from Arizona.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, Soderstrom's playing more first than catcher now anyway. He's still catching a little bit, but they don't see him as a catcher. Sean Murphy, he'll be gone soon, and Shea Langeliers will be in arbitration by the time he's up, so he's probably gone too. So I think a lot of things could happen there.
You think both the two guys ahead of Cusack will be gone before Cusack comes up?
Yeah, well, I think Soderstrom's going to first base.
The A's like, trade everyone before they hit arbitration, so.
Yeah.
I've heard some interesting stuff about Murphy in the deadline and that something could come together, but it's pretty unlikely. He's probably going to be gone in the offseason, which means Langeliers will be the guy. But then even then, like if you have Cusack and he pans out, you have Langeliers and Cusack and Langeliers.
Right. I think also positions are fake. Like you can be any position, honestly. Like he could be a catcher, first baseman. I think you can move to right field and it wouldn't surprise me.
But isn't his glove really good, Cusack's?
Yeah, I mean, I think he should stick a catcher. He's also 6'4", so it'd be hard to catch every day. 162
games season. Don't spread Cusack propaganda because he's your guy. Be honest, Jackson. Be honest with us.
No, I had him as the best catcher. People didn't like him because he had poor swing decisions and swung at pitches out of the zone, but he also crushed pitches out of the zone because his bat and arms are massive. So we'll see.
If he is
a good draft.
Like, if he's a good catcher, then why doesn't he catch good?
Well, he does catch good.
If you have good sources, why don't you source good, bro?
All right, Ryan. I'm going to reveal what you said in the chat right now.
Go ahead.
All right,
go ahead.
Okay, so I thought.
Later, I will. On Twitter, I probably will, at Table to Heaven. I have a it's unfortunate, the source stuff. This is my resurgence bandwagon soon, though. I've got some stuff cooking and you know.
All right, so Jack, do you have any big draft takes?
Me?
Yeah.
You want to hear what I have to say?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead. So excited.
Big fan of Spencer Jones. Obviously, I have to because of the Yankee, but I was also a big fan before the draft. Drew Gilbert at 30 is the steal of the draft, but we already know this is going to happen.
Wait, who'd you say was the steal of the draft?
Drew Gilbert.
Okay.
Still the first round.
Good pick.
Very good pick to the Astros. Obviously, Astros know what they're doing. I wasn't a fan of the Jackson Holliday pick just because it could have been Tomas Johnson and it would have made me look a lot better. In reality, though, Jackson Holliday is probably the better pick. And I can tell you from I've talked to a couple teams, they weren't big fans of Johnson. I don't know personally too much about him because I haven't done too much research.
Well, he committed to Arizona State, so he stinks. Just saying.
Oh, I might be committed to Arizona State soon, too, unfortunately.
Well, you stink, too. So,
all right. Rocker through is interesting for sure. I'm happy that happened for obvious reasons. Thought the Mets draft was interesting. I'm kind of surprised it didn't go with Collier, one of those sort of overslot guys or heavy overslot guys. We got Prada. Whoever he fucks, so he's good. And I was a big fan of Jerpy at 22.
Ryan, you got any draft
takes? I want to hear from you.
Oh, you want to hear from me?
I want to hear from you.
Okay, so if we look down the draft board, I know nothing. Just going to put that out there. Just absolutely nothing about the draft, right? I know what the Cubs did, and I like read into it a little bit. There's my reading again. Big reader over here.
Is reading just what you see on TikTok, or what we got?
No, it's Twitter.
TikTok takes.
No, I actually listen. I listen to the 12-year-olds on but these are like actual draft people, you know? They're not
real sources.
I know a lot of draft people that are actual draft people.
Well, obviously, Jackson. I don't, but I just read what I see and what shows up in front of me, and I believe it if it's true.
So you're a sheep. You're just a
sure. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. Jackson Holliday, lefty shortstop is interesting. There's not a lot of those. A lot of those out there. I think Drew Jones is better than him, but I don't know anything.
So how do you know a player is better if you don't know anything?
Well, because his swing looks
Jack,
better.
Don't you have like hits, pitching posts when you don't know anything about pitching?
Me?
He hits fucking rockets, Jones. Everything that comes off
of his dick too. I mean, apparently.
I still find it so funny now. People on Twitter use this.
All right. Elijah Green, I thought was interesting that he fell to 5 because I thought he was going to go higher.
So oh my God.
What? Your mock draft?
Elijah Green? No, Elijah Green's so good. My mock draft, I went over 32. So
did you go over 32?
Both went over 30.
Yeah. Well, it's so hard because, like, I have no idea.
But you kept saying, like, in the group chat, picks before they happen.
Yeah. Well, no, that was like during the draft because I had sources. But not like
oh okay so you actually like have sources
the
I'm
draft.
Like
because
like,
once the draft starts
wait,
happening
here's the difference between Jackson and you Jack is that Jackson's sources are actually right.
Yeah, you know, I know exactly how Jackson had a source. I'm happy to share it on Twitter tomorrow at 12 p.m.
I had multiple sources actually, so it wasn't just
well one. You only needed one for as far as you were concerned.
No, I used multiple.
I had 5 yesterday. I had 5
and they were all wrong.
Of them were wrong. Literally 4 of them were wrong.
Maybe get better ones.
They were right before. It made no sense. You know what?
Well, even the ESPN people were under the impression that Termon Johnson was going to go first. They kept talking about
that. Got that phone call, and everyone was like, oh, shit, here we go.
I was like, oh, shit, finally, I'm all right. I'm
well,
good.
No, but the Vegas odds liked him, too. It was like minus
390. Dude, minus 390. Like, I'm not the only one who thought this. I'm the only one who got packed up for it. It was like
– I think
because you're the only one who tweeted it and tried to see
the massive bets on Jackson Holliday.
Dude, what happened?
Orioles definitely just had some insider trading and just tanked the Jackson Holliday stock. Yeah.
Like Jackson Holliday probably wanted like 10 mil and then was like, oh, leave your sex tape. And okay, now you're 8.4. Like,
well, no, but the other thing about Jackson Holliday then is like, I guess if the Orioles were smart, obviously that they would never do this, but I would do this. I wouldn't do this just for the record. They should just bet 5 million on him to go first and then
that's what I'm saying.
And then pick him first and pay him with that. Pay him with the Vegas money.
Like having a third party do it so it's not attached and then say, right. Oh, we made the money back.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't.
That would be the smart thing to do, personally. But, and here's the other thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but teams have a draft pool. They have a certain amount of money they can spend, and they spend the whole thing every goddamn time. So all these Cubs fans are like, oh, the Cubs are just trying to save money. That's all they want to do, save money, save money, save money. Like, you're wrong. You're wrong.
They spend it later.
They spent it in the second round. Just because they saved the money in the first round.
And the fourth round. You took three straight high school guys.
Just because you saved money in the first round doesn't mean you're saving money the same way that Tom Rick is just trying to save money by selling Wilson Contreras. It's so much different. Like, I guarantee you Nazir Rule got $1 million.
Because that guy has so much love. I don't think he's that good, but he has so much hype because he touched 100.
Nazir Mule. It's also such a cool name. He's a high schooler, fourth round. I think he's another two-way guy, but he's a pitcher.
Yeah, he throws 100, so he'll be a pitcher.
Yeah. The draft, I think just like the sort of overall conclusion is like the draft is kind of wild. That's kind of how all drafts go. I think this particularly, you know, like this was like with Rocker at 3, that was not like for almost everybody, you know, besides me because I have elite sources, it was very surprising. You know, I think, and it wasn't necessarily a bad pick.
They ended up being good.
Yeah, like I think obviously it really panned out with Porter, you know, in the fourth round.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Cubs picked 11 pitches in a row.
Thanks, James. That was a really nice comment.
Better than the Angels last year. I mean, you have to hit on one of them.
No, I actually like James' comment there. It provided me with some insight that I wasn't getting from Jack. So thank you, James.
Yeah, and,
I found this like 50-foot iPhone charger in my locker, and I'm very happy about it.
Okay, and Connor Noland was a guy who pitched well for Arkansas in the College World Series. I remember him. Take his biggest.
Connor Nolan's okay. Here, right, I'll pull up his stuff. Hold on. I got made a website. Hold on. It's loading. Don't worry. Nolan Connor. Okay, Connor Nolan, fastball, 90-91, top 93. It's more like a shitty sinker. It gets 9 inches of induced vertical break and 7 inches of horizontal break. So it doesn't exactly do much. Curveball 82-84. It doesn't really do much either. Slider 83-85. It's basically the curveball. Cutter 86-87. And it kind of sucks. Wow, he's just not very good.
Okay.
Yeah. He's just not really. So, thoughts here before we end this?
I think that's it.
All right.
Just want to throw it. I just want to say one thing. Drew Thorpe is going to be a fucking stud. And
you want
to
hear Drew Thorpe's stuff?
Isn't it not good? Isn't it like, I know it's very average, if not below average.
No, it's fine. I mean, he's 92, 94, topping 96, about 2,100 spin on the fastball, good ride, little bit of run, changeup 83, 85, top 86, high spin changeup.
Okay.
But it doesn't kill lift very well, but get some run. Slider's good. I mean, he's 83, 84. It's kind of tight, but it's okay. It's fine. I like the fastball. He had good results.
All right. I think it's time to outro this pod, Jackson. Jack.
Thank you all for watching. You can find me, MLB Nerds, Jack, you know, broken inside.
You know what? Let Jackson outro it.
No, fuck all right, you.
Thank you guys all for listening.
No, fuck
we'll
you. I'm doing
it. Episode 63.
No. Thank you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.